This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Wrestle Culture. Ready?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Did I disappoint you? Leave you alone? Should I be feeling guilty or just be average still? Because I saw the end before we'd begun. Yes, I saw you were blind and on Tuesday you'd come. I've been tabled, I took that ride. I wore stupid sunglasses inside. Therapist girls and 12-ounce curls. I've been addicted to you. Goodbye, Von Wagner. Goodbye, my friend. You have been the one. You have been the one with heart. Goodbye, Von Wagner. Goodbye, my friend. You have been the Von. You have been the Von for me. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Phil James and Michael Ampler from What Culture.
That's beautiful.
That was beautiful. Beautiful actually.
Tribute.
I have to give massive credit to Nick Druitt, who DM'd me earlier this week on X and basically gave me this whole.
And Wait a minute. Somebody doing your work for you on a Wrestle Culture.
Yeah. What? That's not like you.
You didn't come up with the Tuesday you'd come line. No, that was all.
Nothing probably. Goodbye, Von Wagner. We went into a bit more detail on this. I
just realised the TVs say Dynamite Review. Give me a sec. You talk about Von Wagner.
Well, it's going to be the least funniest thing attached to that programme this week. Me and Sige paid a bit of tribute to him on Tuesday's NXT preview. We covered it a bit more on NXT's review on Wednesday, which went out on the podcast YouTube channel. I think we'll be paying tribute to Von Wagner for the weeks and months to come because every now and then a little thing will happen in NXT and you'll miss Von Wagner there to label it exactly as it happened and or table it like he was basically in the ring with Steve Austin and The Rock all at the same time. I hope he's all right.
Yeah.
What happens when...
He was a cult favourite, wasn't he?
Yeah. What happens when a guy like Von Wagner gets released is that the people that really loved him want so desperately for him to, like, stick around in wrestling. But I don't know if that's Cal Bloom's deal.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's other companies that are going to want to use him or whatever, but all the very best of Von Wagner and the other released WWE superstars, of course. I hope everybody lands on their feet or, if they keep wrestling, continues to land on their back.
Yeah, a couple of people, for various different reasons, I hope, end up in AEW.
Mm.
Jinder Mahal... Funny. like that would be.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, let's not rule out anything with Tony Khan right now. And it was a rough week for me because I was like, so there was all the releases over the weekend, wasn't there?
Yeah. It was like a weird slow trickle. This
yeah. yeah. It was almost like the Von one was the same time as Jinder and Sanger and Zion Quinn, Xia Li and Veer, etc. And just no one else noticed.
Yeah.
And then the report came out about, Fightful Select. Oh, by the way, yeah, Von Wagner was also released. So I was in a bad place after that.
There's no WWE obligation, is there? So now it tends to trickle out from the people that are sourced. And if they're just not reporting, then we're not knowing.
And then I remember it's so bad that I remember where I was. I'd just been to B&Q with the missus, bought myself a power washer. That's right.
don't want to show off, but we're doing pretty well for ourselves.
Damn. Can I borrow it?
Oh, definitely not. And I get in the car. I'm pulling some faces. You might have been surprised to hear, to entertain Eric.
I thought you were going to say Eric was with the grandparents.
Yeah.
To entertain Anna Louise.
And, treating myself.
And I can't remember. I think I just started seeing there's like people just sending me eye emojis and like someone check on Wilborn. And I thought, oh God, something big's been announced. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, and huge congratulations to them, Grizzled Young Veterans coming into AW. Very excited about that on Collision. Check out the Collision preview, by the way. And I literally look at my phone, open up Twitter, and it's like, Trevor Lee, former Cameron Grimes, released by WWE. And then you messaged about a second after that saying, bad news, guys. That was a really tough one to take because I talked about Cameron Grimes not being utilized on the main roster. He sort of came in, beat Baron Corbin in like 10 seconds, and then they went, yeah, cool, that's enough. Don't need to do any more of that then. And then I think Corbin maybe even got his win back. And then it was just sort of nothing.
It was never a proper feud, was it?
He was never used more than that. And then he'd pop up in odd little matches or like battle royals or whatever, and there'd be no fanfare. And then obviously he just got jobbed out to Bron Breakker. And I was like, well, I'll just put him back in NXT for a bit, not to develop him, just to utilize him because he's so talented and you're not going to let him go. It's pretty much what someone in WWE apparently said to him, don't worry, you've got a job here for life, basically. And then 5 days after that, boom, gone. Awful decision.
Pretty grim, that, isn't it? That little bit of the story about somebody suggesting job security is right there and then ripping that away. Nobody likes that. It's really weird because releases have taken on a different tone in the conversation since the big pandemic cuts, I think. I don't think we ever used to maybe just stop and consider what was next for the talents. And it's not like the industry was more fertile then. It's, if anything, it's theoretically better now. It was interesting, I think, when Trevor Lee, not interesting for him, heartbreaking, evidently, that video that he posted. But it was interesting how immediate the response was of, well, Trevor Lee's back on the scene then. It must be nice, it must be heartening for wrestlers when that happens to think, oh, well, there's not every door has been slammed in my face. And is that not the point of a challenger brand as well as a market leader? Like, when that challenger brand isn't sort of accidentally hoovering up a lot of the indie talent, as it sometimes does, it's providing other opportunities, and the indies continue to, like, need new talent. So somewhere you would like to think Cameron Grimes, Trevor Lee will be settled. You know, yeah, this is it. You would think that would be fine. Like, you would hope so anyway.
It's a mad one, though, because it's like a lot of them share a very similar story in terms of having their like NXT run, like Zion Quinn, the 205 Live stuff, and then being called up with absolutely no plan. Like, Zia Lee, they had the big packages and things for her and the big entrance, but then gave up and then turned a heel for like no reason whatsoever and then just stopped using her. Like Zion Quinn had, like, he was in a Battle Royale number one contenders match for an Intercontinental Championship and then got squashed by Bron Breakker, and they were like a year apart and that was all he was used in WWE. And Cameron Grimes brought up, had this little bit, like you say, with Baron Corbin, but then just disappeared. And it's like, especially in the point of Cameron Grimes, like, he was a big part of NXT and it felt like, oh, cool, they're doing something.
He got in great shape. No, he wasn't in bad shape in NXT, but he got jacked.
But it's just that immediately, like, call up to absolutely no plan whatsoever. And that ends up being the reason they're released. And it's
not
going to
use him,
really
just don't
use
him in NXT. Yeah.
Same, similar thing with, like, Jinder in a different way, but with, like, Jinder and those guys. That's, like, kind of stop-starty pushes on the main roster, the whole Vera's coming stuff and then disappearing. Yeah. And it's like all of this is down to them not having a plan for them. It just makes no sense, especially in the like case of like a Cameron Grimes. Mm. Just leave him in NXT. If you've not got a plan for him in the main roster, don't call him up.
I think this is it.
It's like, quite easy.
It's all the more, like, I know AEW made their first cuts, but previous to that, we were saying, look, AEW is the model now. Like, if you're signing guys up, even if you're not using them, see out the contract and let that go. Like, a Cameron Grimes is a perfect example. If he was never going to get used, obviously don't say you've got a job for life if there's possibilities. Yeah. His head's going to be on the chopping block. But more than that, if he's on, say, like a 3-year deal and he's not getting used, then he knows when his deal is up and he knows there's that window of time to like find a place on this roster or ready himself to move on.
Yeah.
It's always that. As much as I would love everybody to have a job in wrestling because there are certainly the funds. You know, there are certainly the funds within wrestling to pay the wrestlers. Yep. Not just pay them better than you pay them now. I also accept the reality of the type of industry it is that that can't be the case. But it's I would like releases to disappear and contracts to simply expire. You know, and it always happens where it always, we talk about this a million times, ad nauseum, always favours the promoters, doesn't it? Want you till I don't want you. The reason you're not of value to me is partially my fault. Off you go.
The free agent, but with limitations. Yeah. You're not actually a free agent. It's you can't cancel a contract, but they can.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that of sort of stuff, things. Isn't it? Where your sympathy sits with the talent.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you think of them as wrestlers. It almost becomes irrelevant when you get to the point where you're hearing just somebody's been cut from their 5-year deal or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, what was the 5-year deal then? It's, it's that sort of stuff that I find a bit like icky.
Yeah.
Hi to the comment section on YouTube. Claire Louise said my song could bring a tear to a glass eye, so thank you for that one. Tactical Penguin.
How would you see out of a glass eye?
Tactical Penguin. Thank
you for the donation. If anything, it would be a window at best.
Says, afternoon, lads. Yeah, yeah, Dynasty was great. When's come Wednesday? So gutted about the releases. Feel for the ones who don't necessarily have the experience behind them. I want Kyle and Von to reunite. Couple of 12-ounce girls.
Riding, like, if they do more shows at dailies, they can just ride bikes around the perimeter.
It'd be so good if they're like, we've got Wardlow. Who've you got? Bah.
I do not. I have not seen a single box of dynamite anywhere. Nothing is exploding, especially not this territory.
Mm. We're going to face you one on Vaughn. Matt Rain says, happy Friday, brothers. Look at my best friend and his trophy. You love to see it. Sigh. Have a great weekend, guys. Genuinely the most entertaining week of podcasts this week. Legends Lounge coming soon. Stay tuned. Cheers. Cheers to you, Matt. Yeah, it has been a very entertaining week. Draft tonight, of course. We'll talk a little bit about that in due course. But we've talked about it ad nauseum in the office, but not the two of you on podcasts. Tony Khan got destroyed by the Elite to close out Dynamite this week and then subsequently showed up on the NFL draft wearing a neck brace. Michael Havlett, your thoughts on the events of Wednesday night?
I think Kermit does right here. Right. I've, in many years, I've been privileged to do this job. I have been told by certain people, we have an open forum with the people that listen and watch.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of them have said, when it comes to wrestling, to use a modern colloquialism, I don't know a ball.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not Matt Reigns. My good friend Matt Reigns wouldn't say I know a ball. Very literally, he knows that my balls are like biscuits. They're just for dunking. They call me NBA ham, right? He knows that. Cheers, Matt. But like, I get told I don't know a ball. In the type of wrestlers I like, the type of matches I like, maybe I don't. But I know the f***ing business, lads. And 5 years ago, in 2019, I was told to shut my miserable square face up about the promises that were being made about AEW as a utopian presentation of how pro wrestling could be done. And I was just being, like, realistic. Maybe Dr. Fed was just starting to open the surgery a little bit, but at a fundamental level, I was just saying, look, every promise you are reading, every statement, and I had not just Tony Khan here, but, like, Cody Rhodes, the
young boys,
all everything that's being said is being said with the best of intentions.
Exactly.
Every one of those statements will be walked back. Like, I'm not saying that this cannot be wonderful, and my God, was it. My God, is it sometimes. But every single one of the statements will be walked back, and I am, even right now, not saying that, like, Tony Khan is suddenly going to be, like, featured in matches at every AEW pay-per-view. That is not the case. But when he hit the deck, dead sold, then remembered to clutch his stomach in a pause more pregnant than I often look on camera. Oh my God, right? Oh my God. My take on this segment, because I wasn't able to be in work yesterday, but I listened to you and Sage go, that is a... recommended podcast, right? My take on this is that everybody's take on this is correct.
Mm.
This segment was hilarious.
Funniest thing AEW's ever done.
Yep.
It was dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It was, at the earth's core, on a fundamental level, incredibly bad. Like, in terms of how it was performed. In terms of what it represents. in terms of what should theoretically happen to the Young Bucks if we're based on what happened to CM Punk, canonically, because we've seen the footage on air. And it was so hot, and I can't wait to see what happens next. Like, I don't think there is an incorrect take on this segment. It was absolutely hilarious. And this was before I'd listened to the podcast. I messaged you.
Yeah.
Because I was unsure quite on exactly how Sidge was at the time. And we were busy bitching about a different section of Dynamite, actually. and said, by the time I go to bed tonight, yesterday, Thursday night, I will have watched this segment in full more times than I've seen Brian versus Ospreay.
Correct.
I watched it. I watched it back again. I watched it back again. I had other stuff to do. I was like, I'm still thinking about it. I'm going to watch it again. I think I was on 5 at bedtime. Like, honestly, it's quick as well, so it's easy to sit through and watch.
First thing I showed you when you came in, didn't I? I was like, have you seen it? Have you seen it?
There's something new every time. What's the thing that you guys always reference? The thing where you're like back into the left or something? There's
yes.
Zapruder? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I'd never seen it before when he crossed his legs in the pile driver. He's just done that. Oh, my God. I was pissing myself laughing, howling laughing at Tony Khan. Being a bad professional wrestler, because, like, get this, he's not one.
Yeah.
Right? The man wears many hats on account of being a... Like, he's privileged to wear them on account of being a billionaire, but I've never seen him wear a neck brace before in his day jobs. That was funny. Like, this is mint. This is absolutely mint. Like, I think you are... You cannot not say it's, like, the last of the sacred promises to fall, because it is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'll not really indulge in screwy finishes. I'll, like, adhere to the rankings. I'll not make myself an on-screen character. And there was loads of others, and gradually, one by one, they fall, because they always do, by the way. But if he never takes a bump again, we will always have this.
Yeah, you can't take it away from us.
You cannot take it away. You cannot take it back in the story. Jack Perry stood on the top rope and told everyone in Daly's Place to F themselves as they popped for him.
Yeah.
Bigger than when he was on Luchasaurus' shoulders. Like, this was...
This wasn't a transgression. This wasn't...
It was hilarious. This was, like I say, so fundamentally bad... I loved it. I loved it. I cannot wait for next week's Dynamite. This is like the second big swing they've taken with this Jack Perry thing, if you count the airing of the footage, and they've both worked for me. I cannot look away. I think this does. If you still hold AEW in a kind of a certain light or a certain esteem, I think this does irreparable damage to that esteem, because, like... Are we baby facing the billionaire here because the people that attacked him are top heels? Or are we baby facing the top heels who, by the way, fell afoul of CM Punk, the guy that doesn't even work for you? It's lads. But my God, what an angle. What an angle. I think we'll be talking about this at the end of the year.
Oh, unquestionably.
I think we'll be talking about this and talking about Brian Ospreay and forgetting they were 4 days apart because they look like they look like different organisations. This is my point. Like, if I sound like I'm scatterbrained, it's just because I genuinely believe every take is the correct one. Whatever you thought about this development on AEW, you are correct in your thoughts, because we all experienced it. Like, we all want to say where we were. God, I wish I was watching it at, like, in the early hours of Wednesday morning, racing it to work to talk to you. I had a very busy day on Thursday. A great one, but an extremely busy one. So it was like 7 o'clock, and I'd had 3 separate messages where I'd had to go, no. Like, you knew I was off. So you've been like, God, I wish you were in work today. And I was like, I cannot wait. Nicholas is off this week. And he was like, tiptoeing super close. I was like, please stop. I think I'd messaged him, said, please stop. I don't know what you're about to say. My cousin Nick, some of you may have met him. He's kind of like a walk-up to side character at this point, because I've like mentioned him so much. But like, he was like, we'll need to talk about Dynamite in a bit. Like, I know. And I honestly thought, because I messaged him, I was like, is the blockbustery thing, of which I know is coming, that Swerve does something else? Because he's been pretty rubbish tonight. And no, he was just rubbish. Yeah. But like, I honestly thought more had to be coming with like Swerve and his next title contender, because I was like, the way people have talked up that something huge has gone on lets me know that I like, don't touch that dial, as they used to say. I'm sorry I've rambled, Phil. I'm sorry I've rambled, because, well, when we get downstairs, I'm going to watch it again. Yeah. Amazing.
When they had the Punk footage, like, I loved it because it's like so dumb. Like, what the hell?
Chaos, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Pure chaos. And I love the chaos in, like, well, especially in AEW, but just in wrestling in general.
Mm.
But I thought it was like possibly the stupidest business move you could possibly do. And the sort of rationalization of it, like, it was what it was. It kind of vaguely fit in with the story, I guess, but it still didn't make any sense why they would be showing this footage. Mm. But then you lead to this, and I was wondering whether they had this in mind when they were airing the footage, because now the next thing I desperately, desperately need is Tony Khan next week or whenever cutting a promo saying how he feared for his life against the Young Bucks.
Yeah, he's got to fire them. He's got to fire them with cause.
And tying this all in. But it's in their mind it's tying it all into a story. But in reality, this is really dumb. Bringing up this like real life stuff that happened to like the guy who was the top drawer in your company that you ended up having to fire because of it, or just at least let go. Mm. And you're turning this into a weird storyline that doesn't, A, make you look good as a company, or like even like competent as a company. And turn it into this storyline where you're taking the real life and putting it into the weird kayfabe world, and then you're just kind of cross those streams like it's just the most natural thing.
It's just
in the world. It makes no sense to me.
It was horrible. If we were analysing this and it didn't have all the ramifications of Punk or of Tony Khan as a leadership figure becoming an on-screen character, even if this is it for him, it was horribly performed. Because, and why would it be? He's not a wrestler.
Yeah.
Like, this is what, like, we used to credit the
show. It's all good enough when he was just stood there going...
But, I mean... Jack Perry didn't exactly make it any better in terms of the performance. Like, that punch in the stomach, like, I get kind of why they'd do it, especially if he's going to do the same thing to Kenny Omega next week, which would then tie it back in.
This thing he does now where he grins is
great. That was fine.
It's like, the TK driver, that's Young Bucks elite detail, that is.
Yeah.
To rename it that, and you think, oh, very good, very good. No, they might be, this might be in the plans. Everything we watched might not have been a last-minute call. The fact that they did a very un-AW thing and had, like, we didn't preview this.
No.
It was a mid-show development that, like, we knew that Jack Perry was going to appear with the Elite, and it was like, so getting his job back, how is that going to play out?
Yeah.
But they actively turned it into a different segment of tease, meant they wanted you to watch, and it was in the plans. The TK driver, the whole deal. Like, that's kind of brilliant. And it was a device, and it was a tactic. And yes, this week it might have not achieved a number on account of sports competition, but it's all about next week, isn't it?
Yeah, like, say that again. Jesus Christ.
The follow-up is captivating stuff.
They should do a milli next week.
Yeah. Like,
how long has it been since you and I sat here and went, we're watching it live?
I feel like I want to get the serial back out for Dynamite for the first time in ages. Like, the Punk thing had me on the hook.
Yeah.
It really did.
I was like,
And like a couple of other 100,000 people too for a week. But I think they're all going to be back. I think this has generated conversation. I saw, because of the neck brace NFL draft stuff, I saw Pat McAfee doing his coverage of it. And considering how much of a little needling dickhead he can be about AEW, he wasn't burying the sight of Tony Khan and neck brace. He was simply saying, oh, he took him out to Driver on Wednesday.
Yeah.
He was just accepting wrestling being part of like the real world rather than its own fictional universe.
Yeah.
It got buzz. This is what I mean. I don't think there's a bad take on it. I can't remember a segment where I've thought nobody's going to be wrong. It was
because it is all things to all people.
It is. It's a sort of disaster in many ways. It was mint.
I don't think the past 7 days sums up AEW in 2024 better, because you literally have this phenomenal pay per view with so many great matches on it. A match of the year candidate without question. Match of the ever, potentially, with Danielson and Ospreay. And you're like, okay, well, not that shouldn't be surprising. That's still amazing that they managed to pull that off with all the pressure of going into that, with all the expectations, etc. But it's like, right, all we've been saying is, we know they can do great matches on paper. We know they can do great matches full stop. How are you going to follow up on telly?
Yeah.
And they follow it up with, in my opinion, going the wrong direction with Chuck Taylor. Should have turned heel.
Yeah.
Swerve being marginalised, I get why they've done that now, but initially being marginalised straight out of the gate as world champ, new
like
world champion.
Immediately.
Yeah, weak.
Having...
Normalising John Moxley.
Normalising John Moxley. Unfortunately, getting an injury to Powerhouse Hobbs, not that they had any control over that, of course. Having a former world champion, tag team, but world champion, Big Bill, think, time for me to sit under the learning tree of Chris Jericho.
I'm a learning tree.
Big Bill. It's... Big Bill?
Yeah.
He's got more patter than Jericho in 2024. Like, what's he got to learn?
Yeah.
So Big Bill, I was flummoxed.
And then they end with that.
Is Big Bill working? I don't mean to sound like Steve Austin on a podcast. Is he working or shooting it? Is he setting up
to be... seen Steve Austin's cat shoot on him on X? Oh, he needs to be on X. He was trying to shoot a video and then his cat went into business for itself, basically.
Right, was that
I'll show you afterwards. Drew did a really good tweet about it.
Like, the only thing Big Bill... and Chris Jericho have got in common is that when Big Bill got released from WWE in 2018, he was espousing views that were apparently very close to Chris Jericho's wife's on Twitter. Like, and that seems to have gone away, or yeah. he's learned like what to say and what not to say. But Big Bill, are you taking the piss? There was a segment where, like, and it was like, it's theoretically a cute line, right? Don Callis, like they were splitting up the Callis family gradually. Osprey is trying to show that he's retiring the Tiger Driver Night 1 because he doesn't want to injure anybody, and Callis is like, nah, it's part of the fun around here. And it's all about winning matches. And Kyle Fletcher goes like, he's kind of with Osprey on it, isn't he? And Callis is sort of, well, what would you know about winning matches? He's a frigging Ring of Honor champion. Like,
Osprey being attached to a mid-card title. I get what they're doing, and I'm letting it play out, but I was like, Osprey, there. Okay.
I sent you a pitch last night in WhatsApp for All In, and you know how, like, you know the emoji reaction on WhatsApp exists really for two reasons, right? One, if you can't be asked to reply to a person, mm-hmm. I get loads of emoji reactions. Two, if the conversation has kind of already moved on, but you're kind of like...
You don't acknowledge.
In real time sort of thing, yeah. That was... both cases were happening, right? Because I just waffle. I pitched Swerve versus Jack Perry at Wembley a year on from Real Glass. And it's like Jack Perry's impossible redemption. He goes from the pre-show and getting in a fight to being in like potentially the main event for the world title. Swerve wins. Remember how over Swerve was at Wembley last year? He'd be a huge baby face. That Will Bond just dropped the cry laugh emoji on it. Like, I think I mean this.
Yeah.
Like, I think I actually mean it. Like, the more I think about it, like, based on where everybody is on the board right now, if Ospreay moves into the mid card, and
why?
And they dodge Wembley for 1 year.
You can't,
look at the landscape of heels and what has just happened in the main event.
I get it. Yeah.
Like,
but you can't dodge All In for Ospreay this year.
I agree.
They're getting a reputation for missing the boat on a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I think...
Not generally, but just in my opinion, anyway.
The big matches.
Ospreay Swerve as well. It's not the way you'd like it to be done, but it's something you could heat up in like a month or something. Easy. On TV. Yeah. Like, it wouldn't take that long to get some excitement and buzz about that match. I mean, they've still got the issue of All In, All Out, Shake It All About kind of things. Too close to each other again.
Yeah.
So you could, like... I don't know what they're going to end up doing.
Yeah, which card is that going to screw up this year? Because it was ours last year.
Yeah. But I feel like you have to do Ospreay Swerve at All In.
Tony Khan loves that Labor Day weekend. Is it Labor Day? Like, loves that Labor Day Chicago thing. He cares about dates and locations and stuff. And I like that.
Move All In then. It's not difficult, is it?
I know, yeah.
Well, yeah. But I think that is the same because that's our bank holiday. So I'm assuming Wembley are like, well, we're free. And you can hoy 50,000 people in it, and you've got football to consider and stuff.
And then
you've
got the Taylor Swift thing, haven't
they,
as well?
Like,
the problem with this All In is they're actually going to have to sell it. Like, last year, it was sold on the premise. And that was what sold 70,000 odd tickets, however many it was. It was just the premise. It wasn't the matches. This year, they're going to have to work a little bit harder because they're not going to get that number again from just being in that building alone. Like, they'll never get that again.
Needs a card, doesn't it?
It's the first time, and you only get to do it once. It needs a card, this one.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and t-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You mentioned Wembley there. A lot of discussion recently. Sadiq Khan, Mayor of London, talking about trying to get the Super Bowl, trying to get big events, including WrestleMania, in London. We've been very excited about potentially getting big UK WWE shows. We got, you know, Clash at the Castle coming up later on this year. We have had Money in the Bank. And I think we all agree we'd like a big four pay-per-view. WrestleMania, Michael Hamlet? Brother.
Are you kidding? I live here for starters, right?
Yeah, I agree.
There are 50 states in America.
Yeah.
Many of them have more than one massive stadium. I was sick to the back arse of hearing and reading complaints about how cold it was on night one of WrestleMania. And I was in the building. I wasn't even watching the live broadcast where apparently there was a weather forecast every 5 seconds because they were nervous about, like, the crowd was dead, pal, because the show wasn't that hot. But, like, in my section, it wasn't as cold as where I understand you were sitting in the, like,
oh, yeah,
more exposed area, whatever it was.
I was inside. I was fine.
You were fine. You were on the screen. You were good to go. But, like, there were certain sections where it was certainly very cold. And then, you know, I will say I could notice the difference between night one and night two. Temperatures are what they are. Mm-hmm. Friggin' England, lads. Like, we're colder and wetter than the northeast of America, for starters.
Yeah.
I like to think that when I go to America, I dive all in into the food options. Mm-hmm. So I can speak with some authority.
You like to think.
I like to think, Phil. And
I think it's beyond thinking. Yeah. You've proved it time and time again.
There's a Dusty Rhodes element where it's like wine and dine with kings and queens and survived on pork and beans. I kind of like both sides of it. So I want to go to the fanciest burger place in town. I also want to eat absolute 7-Eleven. Let me tell you, food over here does not compare. Like, our American friends, if you're watching, like, visit a different state for WrestleMania. Do not come to this country for it. Like, I get that it would save a lot of people in the UK a lot of money on things like flights and things like accommodation, potentially, if you live around the London area. Go to All In. Go, like, All In is seemingly going to become something of an annual tradition. Go and experience Wembley Stadium if you get the opportunity. It is our national stadium, and we simply don't have many places like that in the country in terms of its size and scale. All In is right there for you. London is such a scattershot city that even WWE's incredible marketing machine can't make every street corner look like the feds in town in the way that they do when they take
over. They wouldn't want to run Wembley Arena for the Royals and SmackDowns either because it's too small, so they'd have to go somewhere else, so they wouldn't be able to do the hub thing that they do in American cities.
It's I love that we're in this era where B shows are in Scotland and France and Puerto Rico. Keep going with all of that. And I absolutely love the fact that we're even having conversations about big four shows traveling the world. Not high on WrestleMania being in Saudi Arabia, but it's going to happen realistically. But I just, like, when Nick Khan can say, right, well, we're not doing the Northeast in April ever again. It's pretty chilly. Mate, come to England ever. Come to England in the middle of August and there's a rain risk.
Also, WrestleMania. Also, don't on the one hand say to me, WrestleMania might be in Las Vegas. Uh-huh. Or it might be in London.
Ugh. We'll
take a rumble off your hands. We'll take that, right? But also, with the slightly concerning in the TKNO announcement recently for the big UFC show that's coming to Manchester, I think it's 3:04, and they're starting it American time, so the main card starts at 3 a.m. Would that be the same at Mania?
Well, you would
like they change the times for some of the others, but Mania is Mania at the end of the day.
Well, this is it. I think part of the conversation is around like the other changes you would have to make, right? So Mania tickets, as we have all known, are only getting higher in price.
But yeah, just this year look, was ludicrous.
But look at the Clash prices this year, like for the Hydro. And I know it's a small venue, so they're looking to break gate records and do all that like ballyhoo that they like after the fact with Triple H. But those tickets are going to be insanely priced.
Money in the bank was.
You're going to have to listen to like a lot of people saying, I was here for SummerSlam and I'm here for WrestleMania. Big deal. We went all in. Sorry, Robert. Like, we've done the Wembley nostalgia. We've done the UK Stadium nostalgia with Clash at the Castle. Right, that was Cardiff, by the way. Goated. There's a city where you felt like the Fed were in town.
Yes.
Like the stadium was like perfectly, like so central. I can't remember a time where a stadium's been like in a city centre as much as, I hate to say it, like St. James's Park, the cathedral on the hill for the Magpies. Like, it's there because it's so old, but you wouldn't get a stadium built there now. And Cardiff, considering how new it is, 2004 or something, like right perfect. I just, maybe we're poorly placed to have this conversation because we love the audacity and craziness of America as part of the WrestleMania.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe this, I think this would divide the UK fan base in terms of people earnestly enjoy WrestleMania as much as their holiday as the show itself,
mm-hmm.
and would see a couple of hours on a train down to London. And I'm saying that from the furthest point in this country away from London as not really a trip. I feel like there would be like my kids wanted to go to WrestleMania and I couldn't afford to do a family holiday in wherever. That would probably be ideal. But beyond that, I don't know, man. Come on.
I think we are bigger. Ludicrously spoiled in this position that we are in.
Yeah.
WrestleMania this year, I was worked out, it was my 7th WrestleMania, which is kind of ridiculous, really.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And like as much as like your thing with like it would be harder to take over London, I think WWE would manage it. They manage it everywhere mm-hmm. else. Like Dallas, mm-hmm. like they had the sort of central hub of Dallas, but the actual WrestleMania, it was in Fort Worth, was it?
True.
Which is like it's quite a long way away. That was like
I was kind of comparing it to New York. They couldn't do it in New York. That was what
I
was
New
thinking
York was harder, like, but New York is also massive. Like O2 to Wembley isn't
yeah,
a huge
I guess,
amount
yeah.
of difference, I guess. And I think they'd still be able to find like I don't know where the nearest convention center is for them to do WrestleMania World or whatever. But I think they'd find a way. And I think just the idea of it being in London, they'd go all out with it because they'd kind of have to in terms of making it a big deal. And the whole point of it would be to beat All-In's record in the gate. They'd have to sell out Wembley. Yeah.
Would they run Wembley?
Like I think they'd have to.
This is a thing I don't
know. Got to learn from Hydro and Clash at the Castle.
Yeah, I think they'd have to run Wembley because they'd want to make this the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Mm-hmm. The only chance they've probably got of doing of beating All In is by running the same building and doing it as a special thing in the UK and making a big ass deal.
Have
out
any of
it.
The other four though? I'll have Survivor Series. I'll have SummerSlam.
Yeah,
Rumble would be ideal. Rumble's my favorite. Rumble's what I want.
I think in terms of just general fandom within the UK, I think it'd be super exciting for normal people. But we have this very spoiled little thing
maybe that's
where we
is.
Get to go on holiday for it and the work pays for it and we get to go to these stupid American cities and live a stupid life for a week. And
I don't wish that's fair, actually. I don't wish to come across as entitled in my takes, but earnestly, like, and I know there will be like Anglophiles in America that would love the opportunity to travel. We're not just talking about like the English fan base or people across Europe.
I was going to say, it's not just the UK as well. No. This is like Europe will come.
I'm strictly speaking for myself in this. Like, it's just so cool in your mad in your mad country. Yeah.
We just love your stupid cities with all your stupid things. All I want to be is
there. Don't dangle.
Everything being stupidly big.
Don't dangle the Vegas carrot in front of me.
Although I am allowed this. I'm allowed this take.
I would have taken Minnesota over London, personally.
Who wouldn't?
Because I've never been to stadium? Minnesota before. Yeah. That stadium's ludicrous. Yeah. I'd go there.
I will say, I'm allowed this take. And I encourage anybody else in the British wrestling coverage space to have this take, even though nobody will. A lot of them will be complete cowards because they'll want the freebies. Because, why is that? Oh, because it's frigging WWE and they gouge tax pounds. I was going to say tax dollars. Like, this is London putting in the bid. So this is the country paying for the show, not the other way around.
Oh, 100%.
So I'm allowed to not be cool with this for other reasons, such as my wage contributing to it, you know? But
this is coming from Sadiq Khan. That's the guy who started this on Twitter. Like, we will be paying for this.
Yeah, let's not pretend.
And then we'll have to pay like £300 for a ticket or whatever.
Because it will brought the circus to town for us all to enjoy from afar. Like,
it will not be cheap.
Nah.
Speaking of which, Jeff Raidmaker says, I have friends in Glasgow, so I checked the flight price from Chicago. It was about $3,500 per person. Jesus. Just Daryl also says, speaking of Chicago, Chicago Bears unveiled plans for their new stadium this week. Google it. Heart eyes emoji. Manifesting Mania. More importantly, What Culture Live in Chicago in the next 5 years.
Yeah,
happy Friday, goats. Press the button.
Oh my God. I've been to Chicago Airport.
I have been to Chicago twice, I think, because I went to All In and I went on a holiday on my own. Love Chicago, great city. WWE love being the first to run big events in big stadiums as well. So if they can work out the timings with that, I feel like that's guaranteed.
The friggin' Allstate for the wraparound shows as well.
Yeah.
Like, hot. It's just probably the hottest building I've ever been in.
Matt Raines says, Wilburn, when Ospreay wins the title at All In next year, my C tweet demands a like. Absolutely.
I tell you what, if WrestleMania does come to England, I welcome my good friend Matt Raines and his lovely wife Ashley to get on the plane, and we'll all go for 4.3% beers. Now do you want WrestleMania over here, Matt?
Karthik says, why does Mike preface everything with I'm a dull fed guy? Bad comedy aside, they've done a far better job telling stories than AEW since 2023. Even the promos at the top of the card are now better.
You don't need to tell me.
When you're telling lies.
I like to try and sound as fair as I can when I'm about to talk about the main event at Wednesday's Dynamite.
It's fine. Sidgwick's not here. We can all be fair guys together.
Shame
at this table.
Doshura says, so I know how Adam and Hamflet stands, but I've been thinking, what if when Brooks said what he isn't looking for isn't in this park, what he's looking for isn't in this parking lot, he's referring to Josh Briggs. Makes more sense to me. That'll make no sense to you because it's an NXT storyline, but yeah. I like that as an idea.
There's a lot of in NXT. Mm-hmm. But these crazy kids just cannot work
out.
Get
it together, mate.
Can't work it out.
And Steve Nicolakopoulos, a.k.a. Edward Shiraz Hands, thank you, Steve, as always, for getting involved, says, g'day, legends. Considering the great Tony Khan selling on Dynamite, could Tony Khan get a mystery partner to take on the Bucks? Maybe Nicholas, Shane O'Mac, Karate Eric Bischoff. How would they coexist?
I would absolutely love to see Tony Khan wrestle a match. I think that would be one of the funniest things ever. There's a long history of mainly like authority figures, I guess, but non-wrestlers taking bumps in wrestling, and it always is great. Snoop Dogg, obviously Vince McMahon and the Stunner like comes to mind constantly.
Yeah,
but like every time, it's just really funny.
What was the?
It's not good, but it's really funny.
Jenna Marasca taking bumps was always funny. If I remember, she looked like she'd been shot at one point from like a clothesline or something.
Not necessarily knowing how to gauge like a gradient to what you've just been hit with.
Yeah.
Well, this is my bump, so this is what I'm taking. Shane McMahon, honestly, right? Shane McMahon misunderstood.
Still got it.
He misunderstood himself what he actually brought to the table. His 1999 run, He was
reading the bedtime story to Big Show. Still a great promo.
Right. A quietly competent bumper who faked how useless he was.
And
that guy
was nuts to help out.
Yeah. That guy on that button might have genuinely believed he was the best in the world as a shoot. Mm-hmm. And then insisted that every match be booked as if that was the case.
Should probably go over Brock Lesnar in this rumble, if anything.
Oh, God.
Really, it's like Shane Kurt is still one of my favourite matches.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Just do it again.
It's horrible, but it's amazing.
It's not broke. Do it again.
I think that's the tipping point. I think that exact match is the tipping point because he'd also fought Vince at WrestleMania in that incredibly well-received sports entertainment classic.
Yep.
And then he has the match with Kurt. And then he must hear the ovation when he gets back to the locker room. He feels the pain. And then he goes online and dweebs like me are going like, that was unbelievable. And both guys are responsible. He's like, am I class now? It's taken 2 years, class. And I think that something went in his brain after that specific match. He worked with Booker T against The Rock all summer. And there was a real sense of like, because clearly WWE just like, is this complete loser? Sure. Don't worry, I'll take it from here. I'll carry the load.
Shout out to Riley Harrington, who says everyone at my wrestling class last night was selling exactly like Tony did for a laugh. It got a pop every time. I wish I'd been there. That sounds amazing. And Steve also sends us another question. To answer your first question, by the way, it should be the final boss, Shad Khan, who should be his tag partner. Steve says, sorry, gents, one more question. Ospreay seems destined to win the international title and unite it with the AEW championship. At what point does Jericho and his magical tree get involved in that?
Well, he got him last year. Remember that?
Nicholas reacted to when Taker came out of this year's Mania was how I would have reacted if Jericho did that, and I was intent.
That's how I did. Ask Sidge.
Piss off.
Like, I spent about 34, 35 of my 38 years on Earth not really getting Queen. And it's really, I've really started to get Queen in my later years. Love them.
For a while.
Absolutely, yeah. Love them now. Get it. Completely get it. Never did. And then he comes out and spoils it. First real opportunity to see a Queen song performed live.
Genuinely, one of my favorite things about Chris Jericho is how much he thinks he can sing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Do you remember when he did that?
Like, he can do his like fuzzy voice, but when he actually tries to sing, it's also always awful.
And tried to prove that he could really sing.
Everybody, clap your arms.
Doshura says, "Will the Come Tuesday sound go away? I hope not. Trust me, Doshura, this is here to stay."
Hey, Dijak, take those stupid sunglasses off. We're inside.
Wagner Watch.
Come Tuesday.
We will be always keeping an eye on what that boy's up to.
Phil, I haven't told Will or not. I'm going to ask him to do this, but you are so rarely in the audience for it. Going back to locations of events, we might have had a little conversation in the office this week, didn't we, about where a certain NXT main card is going to be taking place just half an hour after Double or Nothing finishes.
Yeah.
Must be getting a bit old. And I'm nearly 39, and it's just fallen out of my head. Wilborn, what is the name of that show taking place half an hour for Double or Nothing in our favourite city in the United States?
That would be NXT Battleground. You're grounded! Battlegrounded! But, people! Las Vegas! Cha-ching!
Thank you very much.
And we're going to be in attendance. No, we're not. But I really want to go to Las Vegas soon.
Desperately so.
It's literally my favorite place in the world.
kind of broke Phil's afternoon the other day trying to make a trip happen and just like multiple Skyscanner tabs up and he's just said no straight away. I was like, I get where your nose coming from, Phil.
Can we go away? Yeah, it was.
Do you want to talk briefly about the match of the year that happened at AW Dynasty? It's quite a good one, Danielson Ospreay. Right.
Oh God, I mean, it was six right. years ago, but it was unbelievable.
I mean, it was no Tony Khan selling, but...
I'll let Phil talk on this one because I rambled on the Tony Khan stuff, but I will just say that, all joking aside from the Tony Khan segment, I watched this match again, knowing the result and knowing some of the... Like, that second watch where you start looking forward to the stuff rather than obviously not knowing and anticipating it all. It doesn't lose anything on the second watch. I imagine I'm speaking to, like, preaching to the choir of people who've watched it multiple times. And in that scene at the end of that series of It's Always Sunny, where Danny DeVito's character's watching Mac on the stage.
I get it.
And he goes, I get it. I think that might happen with me and Will Ospreay. Mm-hmm. Like, I have watched that man do his moves year upon year upon year upon year. And I don't know if it's all it's taken is how effortless he's made slotting into weekly American television look, and my tastes are just so robotically programmed to North America. I love Nuge at its peak, but ultimately maybe North American TV is the only wrestling that truly makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's Danielson and the dark arts of maybe the greatest of all time. But I had that, like, on the second watch, when I'd already loved it the first time, I was like, it is irrefutably you. So you coin a phrase that gets thrown at a lot of people. He is him. He is definitely the guy in the industry.
Absolutely. My love of Ospreay matches goes back to the WCPW. It was pretty much when I was like first introduced to him. Was
same.
Through that. And like just seeing how he works out the matches behind the scenes and then go out and put on incredible stuff in front of however many people is in that crowd. It doesn't really matter. He's just there to have the best match of the night. Every single time he goes out there, and that's pretty much his only goal in life. So it's just incredible to see, like, that guy that we kind of got to know a little bit and worked with in WCPW, and seeing, like still exactly that person. He's not really changed since he was that guy, because he's still just the Brovetics guy, and he will be forever, because that's just literally who he is as a person.
Yeah.
He was threatening me a year and a half ago on social media. Thank you to Angela Dawn. There are plenty of Adams at your disposal. Who'd you like to fight? She tweeted Ospreay, and he wrote, Wilborn for sure. Okay, you want another five-star match? Let's go. I'll just stand there.
Do it as well.
Yeah.
And, like, seeing him sort of grow up in wrestling, I guess, and stop. Like, you can see he's like toned it down slightly to what he was doing back then, because he was just absolutely
And
he had some amazing matches with us, and it's like just seeing like him and McIntyre for WCPW is like, well, I'm just gonna like this guy forever. Pretty much.
That was through
New Japan, when I slipped out of watching it sort of on the regular, he was pretty much the only guy I'd like seek out matches for when I heard of like something special or whatever. And then the way he's slotted into AEW just seems seamless, and it's like he's one of the few guys who's managed to keep up the hype of, well, his own hype sort of within the AEW system. Like, a lot of other people have got caught up in it a little bit and doesn't quite have the same shine as they did maybe when they first debuted or anything like that. He's kept it and kept it going strong, and this is the absolute pinnacle of pretty much everything he's done in his career up to now. In terms of, it was everything I could have possibly wanted from Danielson versus Ospreay. And I knew going into this match it was probably going to be one of my all-time favourite matches.
Well, the nervousness that it
was.
Just because
of the people that were there.
It's, I mean, sickening, isn't it?
With,
it's
like, Danielson Okada.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't what the expectations were. Obviously, like, injuries and things.
Mm.
But it was like, it wasn't what the expectation was Danielson Okada. So you never quite know. Like, the chemistry might not be there.
Yep.
Like, and you can put anyone together, but if the chemistry isn't quite there, it just won't be quite what you want from it. And this was absolutely everything that you could want from it.
He is kind of at this point like the cause of and solution to all of AEW's problems, because this, like, where the best wrestle mantra is a really good one. I keep using the example to Wilborn of like Sean and Brett, like, didn't draw.
Yeah.
And it pains me to this day that they didn't. It didn't stop me watching, but they didn't draw. wrestling for the foreseeable will probably not draw. The pay-per-views might continue to do all right, but weekly, it's not going to turn AEW's fortunes around overnight. The crowds are suddenly not going to swell like they did. But with Ospreay especially, you have to lead with that at all times. That's another reason why, like, the Tony Khan segment is as brilliant as it is terrible. It's because it couldn't really be further away from the Will Ospreay Bryan Danielson match.
Yeah,
and that's the stuff, and it's amazing, but it's also every other wrestler, even if they're a 9, they're not a 10 because he's the 10 now.
That's it. And like, it's like grade everyone on a curve. The curve just got much steeper because of both of those two.
It's amazing for them, but the difficulty is juggling pretty much everybody else on the roster until you've strapped him up.
Yeah. I mean, what you're saying about, like, Brett and Sean, like, didn't draw or anything. Like,
yeah.
They can put on these matches as much as they want, but they won't, like, ever draw as, like, a WWE or whatever. Mm. But if you can start weaving that into stories that people
actually give a
crap about, then you'll start to get there. And this, I think, the story, like, it kind of just had to be who was going to be the best.
Yeah.
Because that was... it kind of, that's just all you really need for this as a match. But in terms of going forwards, both of them, like Danielson as well, I think he's been caught up in, he's not had a storyline that you really could care and get behind for a while now. Like, I think both of them need some care and effort putting into the storytelling that goes into the, like, build up to the matches, as well as the incredible ways that they can pull off the matches at the end of it.
Very quickly before we get to the hashtag bloody good quiz, one thing from Karthik, who says, does Punk Drew have feud of the year potential? If they can re-sign Drew, they probably will. That's the most electric pairing in wrestling for me. I agree.
Me too. I would say that. Obviously, it's like the hottest thing, hottest hand WWE probably has. And it's a hot show at present. Yeah. Of course, right now, there'll be like people that don't like CM Punk saying, like, well, he's wrestled. He's put the tights on in front of the cameras one time and he went and got injured. Is this just going to happen again? Of course, maybe. Possibly, but I would argue, opposing that, who cares? Like, how hot was the WrestleMania exchange? How hot have all the promos been? How much has this Punk return been the exact gift from God that the Drew McIntyre character needed to take that already awesome act of his and potentially make him as a main eventer forever? Which, look, all Punk bias aside, all dream match stuff aside, of which I've got about 10 for CM Punk, what his role a core level should be is like leaving that main event picture with a few new faces in it.
Yeah.
It's certainly what Cody Rhodes' MO is. And if Punk can do that with someone like a Drew, who I do believe will re-sign, and said this ages ago, I think he's probably been signed for a while and they've seen the opportunity to do the summer of Drew.
Yeah.
Like the fact that they can do that with him as a nice little callback and then have the match, which will feel massive, by the way, I think stands to make Drew even more than like when he was the kind of pandemic game show host, somebody's hoying this company on his back type guy. I think this run will be his moment.
I think this is a good point for a statement piece for this sort of new WWE going forwards as well, in terms of they can let those two guys go out and say not whatever they want, but pretty much whatever they want. And like judging from the form that Drew McIntyre has been on and the amount of shtick he's managed to get out of this so far, it'll be absolutely fantastic. And the more they, and the more one person one-ups the other one, the more the other one will up the game to come and match it. And both of them will like put so much into the promo battles and things leading into it that it'll just be so entertaining. And it'll just be a good statement for like, this is the WWE now. Like, it doesn't have to be the scripted stuff that we've done before. Like, things are changing. These are two guys going out on the top of their game, just being able to create a storyline out of the things that make them them.
It's the main event of WrestleMania Night 2 was talked about, obviously, wildly electrifying thing that it was, to such a degree that I don't think yet enough praise has been heaped upon that Punk Drew Damian Priest segment. Genuinely, like I was saying to you the other day, like I kind of blacked out as Damian Priest music because I was like, I'm getting everything.
I need to rewatch Punk, that again. Yeah,
Punk just ripped the brace off, called that in the Helwani interview. He's done it to deck Drew. Priest's gonna cash in. The Judgment Day's music's playing. This is it. This is wrestling Nirvana for me. But like every detail being as great as that was, so the whole Drew character arc was about like I deserve my moment and I've not been given it. And he gets it and he blows it out of spite. That is the exact way to blow for that character to blow that moment. But his performance was unbelievable because you would have never guessed he was going to do it. They still gave him the sweet moment with his wife. And it was all to service something else. And the Punk reveal with the arm and the Priest cash in. The way they shot it so that they made real the meme of the Judgment Day interruption thing with Punk. Like, that was... If that was, like... If that, if like... If, If Roman wins, right, we're having a very different, like, WrestleMania still had that.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'd be talking about it as like, well, that was like an all-time Mania moment.
Well, on Punk, star ratings for Dynasty's dropped.
Oh!
Do you want to play the game that we often yeah. play in the office?
Oh my God.
Thanks to Matt Reigns, by the way, brought this to my attention.
It's time to play the game!
Shout out to the guys at Inside the Ropes who've collated all this here for me, which makes it a lot easier. We'll just do the main card. I'll tell you, Trent Barretta, Matt Sydal on the pre-show got 3.25 stars. Orange Cassidy and Katsuyori Shibata, Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty, 3.25 stars. And 2.75 for the trio's unification match. On to the main card. Kazuchika Okada versus Pac for the AEW Continental Championship. Who wants to start us off?
4.5.
I was going to say 5. Maybe 4.3.
4.75.
Fills up.
House of Black versus Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe.
This could be the fit. We always know what we're all thinking.
Is it as good as Punk Joe?
That's always the new. That's the new benchmark. 3.3. Okay. 3.3.
3.5.
4.25.
Woo! That's nearly a full star better than Punk Joe. 3/4 of a star better. I don't know what 3/4 of a star is, but I know it's not Punk Joe.
No. Willow Nightingale versus Julia Hart.
2.
Exactly right. But to be fair, Julia Hart's injured.
Yeah.
That's not a reflection either of them. Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly for the International Championship.
Oh, God, this is going to be got a higher star rating than Punk and Joe, which is, I mean, I love both guys, but it's absolutely criminal. 3.3.
4, flat 4.
1, 2, 3, 4. He's screaming.
What you doing?
4 stars, wonderful. Chris Jericho versus Hook. Is it as good as Punk Joe?
No. Come on. It's Jericho, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who ranked this one? Was it D. Meltzer or C. Irvine? I'll go 2 and 3.
3.
3.25. So, quarter star off. Punk Joe. Oh, by the way, did you know what else I realised the other day? Chris Jericho versus Adam Cole, double or nothing.
It's one of the worst matches I've seen live, yeah.
Only 1/4 star worse than Punk Joe. 3.25 it got.
I'm telling you, we were in Wembley knowing that we were watching what was possibly going to be the match of the night. A furnace that place was. Do you know who wasn't able to experience the furnace? Dave Meltzer, bless him, because he was getting tech. The furnace was in his pocket because his phone was on fire, being like, Punk and Jack Perry have just had a fight, like off about 16 different people. The poor sod was probably having to, Brian, have you seen this? We're going to have to cover this. Like, there's a pretty good match going on there. Yeah. 3.5, probably. I honestly believe it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That story was breaking during that match. And it's like, and who's it going to break through? Dave Meltzer. He was the one guy in the building that couldn't experience that match the only fair way.
Timeless Tony Storm versus Thunder Rosa for the Women's Championship. Really enjoyed this match.
4.25.
4.
4.25 is correct. We'll come back to Ospreay Danielson. Young Bucks FTR ladder match.
Ooh. It's just not a 5. And I think... 4.3.
I was going to go 4.3.
4.5.
Okay, yeah.
Swerve Samoa Joe.
This is flown all over the shop. It was the quintessential 3-star main event, and I don't mean that as a criticism. 3 stars is better than half marks. Mm-hmm. We should remember that.
Well, not for Meltzer. Mm-hmm.
But I think he'll go 4.
3.3.
4.25.
4.25.
Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson.
Sidge is a Meltzer whisperer here. He listens to the podcast and then can judge like a word that Dave will use to describe it. And I'm never any good at this. He's broke 5. I'll say, this is such a funny thing to say. I'll say a flat 6.
I was going to say a flat 6 as well. I'll go 6.25 just to make it interesting.
You're both wrong. He has gone 4. Will Ospreay. Brian Danielson. Yeah, 4 stars. Flat 4.
Still better than Punkin.
Will Ospreay versus Brian Danielson.
6.5.
6.5 stars.
Oh, bye.
1.5 stars better than Perfect. Don't forget that.
And 3 stars better than Joe Punk.
Yeah. Well.
A full another match, basically.
Punk Joe twice. Maybe, actually. Yeah, that might be fair.
Before we get to the hashtag bloody good quiz, actually quickly, Darshura says, I'm playing the latest WWE 2K, and in my GM mode, Seth wanted to be a tag team with Big E. That sounds class. I've named them the Freak E's.
Nice.
What are your good.
Custom fan team names that hasn't happened but wish it was? I've not played 2K for years.
Nah. I don't know. I'm no good at this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't have a proper team name for them, but in my action figures as a kid, I would always put Brett and Sean together.
Course.
And they'd win the tag belts together because I was just like, come on,
and
guys.
And they'd be called Braun.
And that's how it happened.
Right, enough of all this.
Braun Harkles.
It's now time for...
Scotty Too Harley, by the way.
I would probably put...
Crash Harley and Scotty Too Harley
I like
together.
That.
I would probably put, I don't know, three of my favorite wrestlers off the top of my head. I don't know, Jeff Jarrett, Diesel, and Bret Hart, all in one stable, and be calling the NWO. Great days. Great in days. Jarrett's guitar said NWO on it.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of all this. It's now time for a bloody good quiz. And this week's quiz is brought to you by Seahawk Chalk. If you want your name associated with the hashtag bloody good quiz, all you need to do, leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify. Screenshot it.
We need the proof.
And email it to me, adam.wilborn@whatculture.com. Seahawk Chalk says, G'day from Melbourne. I'll listen to you guys weekly. Since long before I met and recently married my now wife after 7 years together. It feels insensitive to do the voice now.
and it didn't before.
Yeah. We were recently on our honeymoon together and I played her the amazing Australia-themed quiz before the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Safe to say she understood none of it but loved to see me laughing senselessly. That's true love, that is.
Oh, I'm just glad you're having
yeah. fun. Anyway, it was about time I gave my 5-star review. Just want to thank all the team at What Culture, the Dadley Boys, Phil, Andy H. Murray, Solo Sunday, Gareth, Simon, all the Adams and everyone in the back for the hours and hours of laughs and good times over the years. Hooroo. Hooroo to you.
Hooroo.
York Chalk. Unsurprising, this week's quiz is all about authority figures getting attacked.
Yep. So,
speaking of laughing senselessly, which we get a lot, I encourage and endorse and frankly recommend people, if they don't typically watch the NXT video review podcast, make this the week. Not for anything
I was
weird.
Annoyed I wasn't there for it.
Not for
honest.
Anything weedy. Yeah, Wilborn missed it, but obviously we have a special guest wrestler who I won't name for those that still don't know. If you know, you know. That comes in, does
only
a bit
he,
of,
only he knows just recently apparently.
Does a bit of freelancing for us and he wow, you gotta watch, you really gotta watch.
Make that, put that on your bucket list. Right, 10 questions, multiple choice, shout your name, wait for me to come here. Remember, guys, it's just for fun.
Just for fun.
Just for fun.
All about attacks on authority figures.
Okay.
Obviously slightly problematic with the amount of Vince McMahon appearances that are going to happen here. But
we'll just forget about all that.
For the time being, at least. Yeah. Bad guy. Anyway, question number one. Kevin Owens headbutted Vince McMahon.
That was good.
After getting booked in what match? Was it First Blood, Hell in a Cell, Last Man Standing, or Dog Poo?
I'm flat. You absolute hack. A dog poo. Match. I'll go Hell in a Cell with one.
Yay!
A dog poo match.
He's got to put him in dog poo.
There's a few.
Rockin' Ken Shamrock.
There's a few, yeah. Weird options in this quiz again. It's really started popping up recently, I feel. Question two. Brad Maddox. Remember him?
Yeah.
He got thrown into a poster backstage by The Shield. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2014. Whose poster was it? Ooh. It's also really weird because like Ambrose is sort of punching the sofa, but you can tell he's not punching him. He's like, I'm beating him up.
The only poster spot I can remember is the Women's Money in the Bank during the pandemic. Was it Carmella or was it Dana Brooke?
Yeah.
One of them.
Yeah, Dana.
Dana.
Or maybe it was Carmella, because one of them was like, "You pulled down the wrong bloody briefcase."
Stephanie
McMahon's against a white wall that doesn't look like anything like their
definitely not in the same room.
I've won the Money in the Bank lunchbox.
It was more just sort of threat. It wasn't get put through his head. It was just hanging up on the wall.
Okay.
But was it of Triple H, Randy Orton, Batista, or the Funkasaurus?
Or dog poo?
Who's going to blink first?
All good shouts. I'll take a punt on this one. Hamflet, Batista.
Ooh.
Yay!
2014, just come back, hadn't he, for the cursed run.
Question three. What did Randy Orton say caused his attacks on the McMahons? Irritable bowel syndrome, intermittent explosive disorder, hay fever, or erectile dysfunction?
Dog poo.
Phil.
Slipped on dog poo.
IBS.
It's a human poo.
Human poo. That's the link.
Is that what you're actually going for? Yeah. IBS? I hate to break this to you.
No, dear. That's wrong.
Punt was an accident. He just slipped on poo. Oh, no. Leg flails up in the air and he kicks him in the head. It was the explosive disorder thing.
No,
it wasn't poo.
It wasn't poo.
I did like that shot they used to have when it was like really dark and the flash bulbs would go off and then you'd see his eyes.
Yeah.
That was like, about it.
I like Randy Orton in that era. Like, he had like a sort of, he was lizardy and like sort of oily.
It was
like
smooth on his
head. Like he like was prepped for swimming rather than wrestling. Or something.
Yeah.
Like he was some kind of viper.
Question four. The Nexus once attacked various authority figures. Name all eight members of the original Nexus.
Oh, I love this question. Well, that was dog poo.
I was just going to say, how many poos can we get in there?
Can we turn this into that game where one of us tries to name it, and if we get one wrong or get stuck, the other one can steal?
Yeah.
You know, like on Wipeout.
Yeah, why not?
Do you want to name or do you want to steal, Phil?
Definitely win.
Yeah.
I will steal, so I don't have to do as much.
Right.
Eight to get.
Your best friend, Wade Barrett.
Correct.
Wade Pooer.
Wade Poo. Michael Tarver.
Michael Pua.
Loved that embossed tea mask that he had. Mm. Big Deus.
That's about the only thing he had.
Skip Sheffield.
Correct. Skip Poofield.
Hootie Hootie. Heath Slater.
Correct.
Poof Slater.
Justin Gabriel.
Justin Poobrio.
Correct.
Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Pooin.
Correct. Two to get.
This should be really easy.
What timer on him?
Yeah.
Five.
David Otunga.
Correct.
David Poutunga. David Poutunga.
David Poutunga. I've now forgotten who I've said to
I know,
get the
yeah,
last
that's
one.
The thing. I've got a name in mind, but I can't remember when you've said it.
Walking around Sunderland in 2011 and I saw a child in a Core t-shirt and I thought to myself, your parent has got you the wrong present. But who split off to be in the Core? We're talking original Nexus as well, not the the Punk and the new Nexus and all
that. No.
Four,
three, two, one.
I mean, I don't know why you're pointing at me. I'm not going to get it. Has he said Darren Young? Bingo!
And that's why
I mean Darren Poong.
That's why this. That's why the steel bit works. I did all the work for nothing.
Phil James, point goes to you. And this next question, if you get it wrong, the point will go to your opponent because it's an either-or question. Brie Bella, a few people actually managed to get somewhat of...
Poo or no poo situation.
No.
Is it
poo? The answer, no poo.
Brie Bella, one person who got a tiny bit of catharsis when it comes to Stephanie McMahon. Yep. Which hand did she slap her with? Left or right? Left or right?
Phil, right, Charlie.
Yay!
You can fire me, I quit! Steph does that weird laugh. A good slap.
That was a good slap.
Referee, what's his name? The referee goat.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
It's not that same bit. It's not that bit. That's the same... when they're in the crowd and she's like, "You're a bloody whore" or whatever. Yes,
what's
I remember.
Name? Can't remember his name.
I've got senior referee Dave Linsky in my head for some reason. Steve Linsky, not Dave Linsky. What
yeah,
I'm
Steve
saying?
Linsky.
I can find him. He's on the NXT referees, isn't he?
Isn't there a thing where you can ask the comment section something to do with pooing?
Yeah. Comment section, let us know when you poo.
When you get your, like, I forgot the way, when you and Nicholas do the quiz and you ask
for... Yeah, I can never remember.
No, it's phone a boner.
Phone a boner.
I knew it was something crass.
Because we're just calling them boners.
Poo, erections.
Chris Sharp. AKA now Chip Danning, of course.
Good name.
Shout out to Chris Sharp.
Yeah, shout out to Chris Sharp. Lovely bloke. And was featured in the... WCW champion David
Arquette.
Yeah, featured in that.
You cannot kill David Arquette. Yeah, documentary.
Such a good documentary. Mm.
Really good stuff.
If you haven't seen that, go watch it.
Recommended.
Bring back the magic, man. Holy cow.
3-2 to Hamflet, halfway through. Question six.
Halfway poo.
Which of these W's doesn't Shane McMahon say before getting Angle slammed by Kurt Angle in the whole WCW invasion bollocks. Whatever, water, wanker, or wussy? Which one of those doesn't say, he says, that W can stand for wrestling, but it stands for a lot of things. It says three things, but he doesn't say one of those I've just listed.
Phil, wanker.
Yay!
He wouldn't say that.
He wouldn't say that. He's American.
Oh, was it a
great Angle slam off the top of that.
Oh, it's all the confetti goes everywhere. I was at a WWE show where Mick Foley said wanker, and he was like, I was told I wasn't allowed to say wanker. I was like, yay, you did it.
It's like when the Simpsons say wank and you're like, oh my God, yeah. The Simpsons swore.
Cliff of the Big Red Dog and its use of bollocks.
Yeah. Well, that's inappropriate. Right, three all, four questions to go. And they're good. Before Dixie Carter gets put through a table by Bully Ray and TNA, she is wearing a T-shirt. But what does the T-shirt say? Is it Bully Fears Dixie? Is it, you'll never put me through a table? Is it 3D, more like Dixie? Or is it, Aesop, get the fables?
Cannot believe you didn't put the Okada t-shirt as one of the options.
always got to keep them guessing. And another, in case you missed it, there's a big, a lot of talk this week about AEW, obviously, but not about Dynasty or Tony Khan, about what Tony Schiavone says on the first nice day of the year. It's spring!
Bill, the first dance.
Oh, yes. I thought we were doing a quiz.
Yay!
Stop you right there.
I was really, really proud. Thank you to everyone for their kind words and support throughout this time, by the way. Soon I'll make you pay for that on Cameo. Phil races into the lead with three to go. Question eight. When Sting debuts to stop the Authority at Survivor Series, there is a guy on the front row, not green shirt guy, stood next to green shirt guy, but what's he dressed as? It's one of those ones where, a bit like with The Rock, I think it was The Rock, John Cena, some twat's holding up like there. Here's my sister's face. Sign. I'm like, get rid of that.
Yeah, I was, yeah, used to more on the pulse than I am. There was a big fella with a beard and a lass as well. Are they supposed to be people?
I don't
know. Or is it just people have taken like signs with faces on? Which, by the way, you want to take my big face with Dynamite like Matt and Ashley Reigns did? Absolutely fine.
Jonathan Rivera tried to take mine. He wasn't allowed to bring it into the Raw.
Yeah, we're going to have to take that off, you say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too sexy.
Have we got options to this?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just really weird looking back on it. Like, Triple H swings for him and gets dropped and what have you. And then I'm like, The Grinch, Rudolph, Santa, or the Crazy Frog?
Well, those were not what I thought it was going to be.
Hamlet. I'll go Poodolph.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Santa.
Yay!
Oh, I'm in trouble here, man.
Only draw, but you may remember the trial of Eric Bischoff.
Yeah,
I've rewatched quite a lot of it actually. It's really weird.
It sure is.
Chris Masters, they sort of reveal what his real name is.
Yeah,
now he's banned from giving evidence.
It's all terrible.
Boogeyman shows up. Pretty good. He's got like a worm hanging out of his nose, and when he smashes the clock against it, it falls, and he looks class. Maria's there, and you're like, bloody dumb Maria. She's like, Mick Foley's the prosecution? Yeah, prosecution. And she's like, can you get Sarko to do it? And they're like, this dumb broad's going to ruin their case. And then she like is really articulate.
Yeah, that's the gag.
And then she walks out, and they look at her ass, and you're like, for God's sake. Anyway, there's a witness testimony from Daivari, I think it is.
Okay.
But Vince McMahon misses this excellent case for the defense. But what's he doing? Is he too busy working out? Is it someone's brought in a burrito and he's trying to work out what it is? Is he too busy listening to the new Ashley Simpson song on his new iPod? Or is he too busy making himself fart to pop the boys?
That's close to another poo answer, isn't it, that one? He's doing a poo. It's Hamlet, it's the iPod one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so jarring.
Yeah.
That they're like, we've got this really good defense statement. And then they turn around and he's like, I'm sorry, I didn't hear any of that. I'm listening to this new Ashley Simpson song on my iPod. She sucks. You're like, The hell's that?
So it's not even a joke about like, oh, what weird taste the old man's got. It's like, it's the proper Undertaker. Nice try, big man, but I don't sleep.
It's not even a sponsorship because you've seen it.
Sucks. Yeah, you said it's terrible. the writers have crafted this game. They're like, I've got this brilliant bit for you, Vince. You're there as a judge. You're supposed to be paying attention to the case, but you just love Ashley's. And nobody's going to put those two worlds together. And he's like, I love it. One change. I hate it. Well, then you're not distracted. Shut up.
Hi to Marcel Lavia, like he says, late to the party, but hater, fill it up, Big Willie and Dr. Fed himself. Have you used your phone a boner? Phone a boner, still both available for.
Still in play.
Still in play.
Final question, Hamlet, you need to get this one right. Okay. When Bully Ray puts Scott D'Amore through a flaming table, you just need to tell me what commentary says. Do they say, great Scott! Do they say, you absolute bastards? Do they say... That's a good line, this. If this is what the commentary says, obviously.
Exactly, yeah.
The D'Amore things change, the more they... Hang on, let me start that again.
You're ruining your own bit.
You wrote it. All the commentators said
it. Yeah, okay. I'll get it clean first.
Yeah, yeah.
The D'Amore things change... The D'Amore, they stay the flame.
Oh, there's another one in there.
Twist at the end there.
Or did they say... Well, I disrespect the commentators if this is the line that they used.
If.
Potentially.
Could be.
Could be, definitely. Scott's future, it looks dire, cause his ass is on fire, that's D'Amore, eh?
There it is.
Well.
Phil, B. Dylan!
Hey!
That's the wrong button.
Bingo!
How did you work it out?
Just crack the code.
I, in that moment where you did the victory laugh, felt a wave of relief that I'd not even thought to consider. Following the live show, like, I hope Phil's all right. Like, I'm not, because I've turned to see you at your desk, or we've not like walked out or in the office together. And it's like, it only just occurred to me then, it's been like 3 or 4 weeks. Like I hope his surgery repaired ankle's in good shape. Yeah, because on the stage, I get it, it's like a burst of adrenaline, we're doing it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Get that. And then obviously, I didn't see you night two at WrestleMania, we travel off away separately.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, he's all right, it's good. So that, like. That's a double victory for you, as far as I'm
concerned.
Thanks
for checking up on me.
Congratulations.
2 weeks later.
Spent like a whole afternoon in Slack doing, can we go to this bit of America? Can we go to this bit of America? PS, hold your ankle. Can we go to this bit of America?
Well, congratulations to Phil Chambers, the winner of this week's quiz. Let us know how you got on in the comment section below or on X at WhatCultureWWE. Watch that. You can follow all three of us. You can follow Phil Chambers at...
Phil My Boombas. You can follow Pamphlet at...
Pookle Pamphlet. And you can follow Adam Wilborn at...
Adam Pooborn.
Ah, yeah, we got him. He hates crass jokes. You never get him on them. That's the thing with him.
Follow all of us on X at What Culture WWE. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. The SmackDown preview, myself and Hamlet, talking all about the WWE draft. A little bit about it. It's available right now, as well as the Collision preview with me and Sidge talking all about the Grizzled Young Veterans, basically. But for now, this has been Wrestle Culture. My thanks to Phil Chambers to Hamlet. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you soon. In front of a live studio audience.
Wrestling!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.